Hey, Lighthouse Church family, I am praying that today's message will bless you.
At this time, I want to call on Pastor Joel. And just if you don't know, today is his, I'm not going to say the last, but one of the last messages here. And I am sure at one point I'll be calling you back just to say, hey, can you bless us? And I've just come to realize over the years, I always look forward, brother, to when you speak. It's not just giving me a break. Truly, I look forward. What has the Lord put on your heart? Because that was one of the things. Hey, we can easily come up with a sermon or whatever. But that there's a message that God has spoken to you for today, for now. And even as a final here at the church, as a pastor here, and as you're moving forward, I want to hear what the Lord has put on your heart, brother. So God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, Lighthouse Church family. One last time, I have the privilege of standing before you, welcoming you as I always have with a good morning to my Lighthouse Church family. Or perhaps more fittingly, I should say that which I have titled this message, Goodbye, Lighthouse Church family. You see, I've preached a lot of sermons from this pulpit over the years, but I've known for quite some time that this one was coming. And I can tell you that it is a very strange thing to stand here knowing that this will be the final sermon I preach to you all as pastor. It may not be the last message I ever give from the stage, but it will be the last one I give as associate pastor here at Lighthouse Niagara. You see, nearly 6 years ago, I walked through the doors of Lighthouse a perfect stranger. I was 23 years old. I was fresh out of Bible college at Masters with plenty of passion and plenty of ideas and a big heart for ministry and perhaps most of all with a whole lot of growing left to do. I certainly did not know everything that the next 6 years would hold, and I did not know all the ways that ministry would challenge me, all of the ways in which God would stretch me and all the ways that this church would become woven into the story of my life. I just knew that God had opened a door, and I wanted with everything in me to be faithful enough to walk through it. And what I found when I walked through that door was a church willing to make room for me. You welcomed me before you really knew me. You trusted me before I had decades of experience to prove that I was deserving of that trust. You gave me opportunities to preach and to teach and to lead and to make decisions and to make ministries and to learn from, or sorry, learn to make mistakes and to learn from those mistakes. And then to get back up and keep growing. You watched that 23-year-old Bible college kid become a husband. You watched us become parents and welcomed Elisha into this family as well. And somewhere along the way, without me really realizing when it happened, I stopped simply being the young guy that Lighthouse had taken a chance on, and I began becoming a pastor. And when I look back on these past six years, I know that whatever I've been able to pour into this church has also poured an immeasurable amount also into me. And as I thought and prayed about what I wanted to say to you all in this final message, my mind kept coming back to the Apostle Paul and his final conversation with the leaders of the church in Ephesus in Acts 20. Paul had spent years among these people. He had preached to them, he had discipled them and prayed with them and suffered alongside them, and he watched God establish a church amongst them. But now the time had come for Paul to leave, and everyone gathered there understood the weight of that moment. In Acts 20, verses 36 to 38 tells us, when he had spoken these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. They wept a lot and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. Then they accompanied him to the ship. A little bit later, there will be a time for goodbyes. Please don't kiss my neck. Please don't kiss my neck, no. You see, there's something painfully beautiful about this scene that Acts depicts for us. These were not simply co-workers finishing up a project together. Paul was not simply clocking out of work at the church he was employed at for the last time. These were people whose lives had become intertwined through the work of Jesus Christ. And now they were being asked to entrust one another to whatever God had next. But what strikes me most about Paul's words in Acts 20 is that although he looks back, he does not spend his final moments merely reminiscing about everything they had experienced together. He does not gather the elders around him just to tell them his favorite stories and memories of the time they shared together and everything. He didn't catalog everything he had accomplished while he was there. Instead, Paul chooses to look forward. He reminds them of what matters. He warns them about what could pull them away, and he encourages them to remain faithful. And ultimately, he entrusts them once more into the hands of God. You see, Paul does this because he knows that there's still work left ahead in Ephesus after he was gone. There were people still to be reached. There are believers still to be discipled. There are leaders still to be raised up in a church that still had a calling from God. And so Paul may have been leaving, but God was not finished with them yet. And so that's how I want to approach this morning. I could spend our entire time together remembering these last 6 years, and believe me, there is a lot of good that I could say that God has done. But I do not want my final sermon at Lighthouse simply to be about everything God has done behind us. I want to leave you with what I pray God will continue to do among you long after Caitlin and I are gone. There are things that I have tried to teach, things I have tried to model, things I prayed would take root in this church, and today I simply want to place those things before you one final time. Not as the final words of someone whose work mattered more than anyone else's, but from the heart of a pastor who loves this church and believes with all his heart that God still has so much more left ahead for Lighthouse. My season here may be ending, but the work of Christ among you is not. And so this morning, I want to leave you with a few things that I pray you will hold on to when it is no longer me who is standing behind this pulpit. And so, Lighthouse, my first charge to you is never settle for knowing about God. Our shared faith certainly contains beliefs, and those beliefs matter. Doctrine matters. Theology matters. Obedience matters. Spiritual disciplines matter. Coming together as the church matters. Spending time in prayer matters. Delving into scripture, serving others, giving, worship, all of these things are important. And I would never want to speak as though they are somehow secondary or unnecessary parts of our shared faith in God. But Christianity is not less than these things. It is profoundly more than them. They are means by which we draw nearer to God. Every doctrine we study, every passage of scripture we open, every prayer we pray, every act of obedience, every gathering of the church is ultimately intended to bring us into deeper relationship with the real and living God. But arriving at a faith that checks the boxes of all these things should not be our destination. Jesus says this in one of the clearest ways possible in John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not define eternal life merely as by believing all the correct things. He does not define it merely as moral behavior or obedience to all of God's commands and will for our lives. He does not define it merely as belonging to the right church like Lighthouse Niagara. Those things are important, but Jesus says eternal life is to know God. To know the Father, to know Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That has always been the goal. Christianity is not ultimately about becoming increasingly proficient at Christian things. It is becoming increasingly acquainted with Christ himself. It is possible to know our Bibles front to back and still fail to know the one that the Bible reveals. It is possible to know our theology inside and out and still allow our hearts to grow distant from the God our theology describes. It is possible to become very, very good at church while slowly forgetting why we come here in the first place. And perhaps one of the things that has challenged me most over the years is realizing there is no point in the Christian life where we graduate beyond that pursuit of knowing God deeper. Paul had encountered Christ. Paul had preached Christ. Paul planted churches and suffered for the gospel. He had witnessed miracles and taught scripture. Paul had given years of his life to ministry, to every single thing that we describe as the marks of a true Christian. But here's what Paul says in Philippians 3, 8 to 10. He speaks of counting everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Then he simply says, oh, that I may know him. After all Paul had experienced, there was still more of Christ that he longed to know. And after the few years of ministry God has graciously given me so far, that in cry increasingly becomes my own, Lord, let me know you. Not merely let me know more about you. It's not just let me know more about you. Not merely let me become a better preacher or pastor or leader or theologian. Lord, let me know you. In Lighthouse, I pray that cry never disappears from this church. Never become so familiar with the things of God that you stop pursuing God himself. Pursue the things of God because through them you are learning to know God who has invited you near. My prayer is that you would know him as Father. As Romans 8, 15 to 16 says, for you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. God does not invite you merely to know him as a distant authority lording over your life somewhere in heaven. But as Father, I pray you know Christ as Savior, the one who rescued you when there was nothing you could ever do to rescue yourself. And I pray you also know him as Friend. Jesus says in John 15, 15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. I want you to think about the privilege you've been given in those words. The God of heaven and earth has not merely allowed us to study him from a distance. Through Christ, he has invited us into relationship. So Lighthouse, do not merely know what this church believes about God. Know God. Do not settle for having enough theology to answer questions about him while your heart grows cold toward him. Do not settle for attending services where his name is sung while neglecting his presence as you raise your hands like everyone else seems to be doing. Do not settle for serving him without walking with him, speaking to him without listening to him, or knowing his word without allowing that word to draw you continually nearer to his heart. Let every sermon lead you toward him. Let every doctrine reveal something more beautiful about him. Let every prayer deepen your dependence upon him. Let every act of obedience become another step taken alongside of him. Because Jesus tells us what eternal life is. It is to know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And long after I am gone from Lighthouse, that is my prayer for you, that you would never stop knowing him more than you did yesterday. My second charge to you, Lighthouse, is this. Continue building one another up in love. One of the greatest gifts this church ever gave to Caitlin and I was not simply employment. It was not simply an opportunity for ministry. It was not simply a place where I could preach and teach and lead or grow in my calling. The greatest gift you gave us is that you have loved us. You welcomed us into your lives. You encouraged us and you prayed for us. And I can tell you with confidence that because you prayed, God responded and by pouring out blessing on our lives again and again. Because you prayed, God poured out blessing on me. And so I thank you for how you have loved us, how you have prayed for us, how you have cared for us, how you have welcomed us into your lives and encouraged us. And I can tell you with confidence, God has answered your prayers for us by pouring out blessing and provision and strength and grace over our lives. You celebrated with us in joyful seasons when we welcomed Elisha. You have stood with us in difficult ones also. You made room for me to grow when I did not have all the answers, and you showed us the kind of love that made Lighthouse feel less like a place where I worked and more like a family that I had been welcomed into. It is what makes leaving this place so hard and so scary. Caitlin and I keep saying it's not leaving a place we worked, a church we attended. It is like leaving a family behind who we love dearly. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to feel. And so when Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing, I cannot think of a more fitting charge to leave with you. And I love the last words he says, just as you are doing. Paul is not scolding the church and telling them, you need to become loving. He is not saying they have failed to love one another and desperately need to improve. He is saying, I see what is already happening among you. Keep doing that. Exactly as you are loving one another, never lose that. And Lighthouse, that is what I want to say to you. You already know how to love one another. I know because I have seen it. I know because I have been on the receiving end of it. And Caitlin has been on the receiving end of it, and our family has experienced. So one of the greatest things you could ever do after we leave is simply this. Keep doing for one another what you have done for us. Keep noticing the discouraged. Keep carrying the weak. Keep celebrating with those who rejoice and keep grieving with those who mourn. Keep praying for one another, not casually, but with expectation that God still hears and he answers. Keep encouraging the person who feels overlooked. Keep speaking life into the one who is weary. Keep correcting one another when necessary, but continue to do it with gentleness and love. And whenever you can, refresh one another. Be the kind of people who make burdens lighter rather than heavier. Be the kind of church where someone can walk through the doors exhausted from life and leave having been reminded that they are not alone. You see, there's already enough in this world that tears people down. Let Lighthouse continue to be the beacon of hope where the people of God build one another back up. Paul gives us the same picture in Ephesians 4:15-16, where he writes, but speaking truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom all the body being fitted and knit together, through which every joint supplies according to the working in measure of each individual part, make the body increase to the building up of itself in love. I love that image for us all at Lighthouse because Paul does not describe the church as being something built by one pastor, by one leader, by one ministry, by one gifted person. You see, the body builds itself up in love as every part does its work, as every part cares for one another. This means Lighthouse does not become stronger because the preaching is strong, or the worship is strong, or because the programming of our ministries is strong. Lighthouse grows stronger when the people of God take responsibility for loving, for serving, for encouraging and strengthening and caring for one another. So do not merely attend Lighthouse. Help build Lighthouse. Do not think of church as somewhere where you go once a week to receive something and leave unchanged. Look around and ask, who can I encourage? Who needs prayer? Ask, who seems tired? Who has been carrying something quietly lately? Who needs someone to sit beside them? Who needs reminding that God has not forgotten them? Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Lighthouse, keep considering one another. Keep thinking about your presence, your words, your prayers, and your love, and how they can strengthen someone else's faith. Make this church the kind of place where people leave stronger in Christ because they were among you. And if you do that, then long after Caitlin and I are gone, one of the greatest gifts you gave us will be continuing to multiply in the lives of everyone that God brings here. The people who come here will continue to receive, and it will continue to multiply further that which you have done for us. And that leads naturally into my third charge to you, Lighthouse. Keep making room for the next person God sends. Make room for the next people who will come. You see, I already told you this morning what it meant to me to walk into this church nearly 6 years ago as a young, naive Bible college graduate with lots of growing left to do. And I won't tell you that story all over again, except to remind you of this. You did not know then what God would do with those years. You did not know who I would become, what the ministries I would lead would look like, what I would learn, or all the ways God would shape both me and this church through our time together. You simply made room. You welcomed someone who was new and gave me somewhere to belong and trusted that God might be doing something that none of us could fully see yet. And because you did, I will walk out of those front church doors today a very different man than the one who walked through them. Paul writes in Romans 15:7, therefore welcome one another even as Christ also welcomed you to the glory of God. I love that the standard that Paul gives us for hospitality within the church is not merely be friendly people, right? The world can do that pretty good. The world's really good at shaking a hand and giving a smile. The one thing they're missing is welcoming others as Christ welcomed us. It is much greater than that. It says, welcome others as Christ welcomed you. Remember how much grace Christ made room for when he received us. He did not wait until we had everything figured out. He did not wait until we were spiritually mature or polished or useful. He did not wait until we were easy to love and accept. No, Christ welcomed us in our weakness, and then he began the work of transforming us. And if that is how Jesus received us, then his church ought to be a place where people can walk through the doors unfinished and still find a seat at the table. A place where someone does not have to first prove what they might become before we decide whether or not they are worth loving. So Lighthouse, what you did for me, do it again. Do it for the next stranger who walks through those doors and wonders whether anybody will notice them. Do it for the next young person with a calling on their life who has passion but still needs patience or instruction or an opportunity. And most of all, who needs people willing to believe in what God may be forming within them. Do it for the family that walks in desperately needing somewhere to belong. Do it for the person whose story is complicated, whose faith is young, whose life is messy, whose personality may not fit neatly into the circles that already exist here. Never become so comfortable with the family you already have that there is no room left for God to add someone to it. And I would ask you to extend that same grace, particularly to the family God is sending next to help pastor and lead this church. Do not ask them to become me. In fact, please don't. One of me has probably been enough for everybody already. No, God is bringing someone with different strengths and different experiences and different ideas and different weaknesses and a different way of ministering. In fact, I believe he has already brought them. Give him room to be the pastor God has called him to be. Give their family room to become part of this family. Pray for them before you criticize them. Be patient while they learn the rhythms and the history of this church. Let them make mistakes and let them grow. Let God use gifts in them that perhaps he did not put in me. One of the greatest gifts Lighthouse gave a young pastor all those years ago was the freedom to grow into his calling. I could ask for very little more than what you would offer the same. I could ask for very little more than that you would offer the same gift to those who come after me. Because you never really know who God is sending when someone first walks through the doors. You don't know what prayer they may pray over you someday, what ministry they may eventually lead, what burden they may help you carry, what truth they may teach you, or what part they may play in the story God is still writing here at Lighthouse. Sometimes God sends his greatest gifts into our lives disguised simply as someone we have not met yet. I think that's so cool. I want to read that one more time. Sometimes God sends you his greatest gifts into our lives disguised simply as someone we have not met yet. So keep the doors of the church open. But more importantly, keep your hearts open. Keep making room at the table. Keep moving over so someone else can sit beside you. Keep welcoming as Christ welcomed you. And when God sends the next person into the life of Lighthouse, whoever they may be, my charge to you is very simple. Do it again. As you did for me, do it again. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." There is one more thought that I want to share with you, and strangely enough, it takes me all the way back to the very first sermon I ever preached here at Lighthouse. You see, the very first sermon that I preached here at Lighthouse, Pastor Dave told me, I did something in my sermon that he told me never to do again. Brother, do you remember what that was? You see, I quoted a pastor, and after I preached, he told me that my aim should not be to quote theologians or other men, because quoting man does not give the words I speak authority. Pastor Dave asserted that the only one whom I can quote will give me authority is God. Well, today, 6 years later, I'm going to break that rule, because I figure, what's the worst that Pastor Dave can do? He's not going to fire me. And so I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis, who once wrote about friendship and the strange, beautiful impact that other people have on our lives. I shared this thought with our young adults last Wednesday, and ever since, I haven't been able to shake this thought. I have kept coming back to it, and I suspect I will continue thinking about it for quite some time. Lewis says, "In each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all of his facets." You see, his point is every relationship draws something different out of us. There are pieces of you who appear because a certain person is in the room, right? It's a certain humor when me and Josh are together, and it's very different from the humor that me and Pastor Dave have when we're in the room together. But it's much more than just humor. There's a certain tenderness, a certain courage, a certain way of thinking. Different people shine different lights upon us. And because of them, we begin to see different facets of ourselves than perhaps would never have emerged unless we had met them. Lewis then considers what happens when one of these people is gone. He says, for example, "Now that Charles is gone, I shall never see Ronald's reaction to a specifically Caroline joke. Far from having more of Ronald, having him to myself now that Charles is away, I find I have less of Ronald. His point is that when someone leaves a circle of friendship, whether they die or simply go away, we do not simply lose that person. In some sense, we lose what that person uniquely brought out of everyone else as well. That is why Lewis says that true friendship is the least jealous of loves. Rather than looking at one another entering the circle as competition for someone else's affection, we can look at them and say, as Lewis borrows from Dante, here comes one who will augment our love. When someone new comes into our lives, they bring with them someone whose presence will add something to each of us. Someone whose friendship will draw something new out of us. Someone whose life joined to ours may somehow enlarge the love that already exists between us. But the one thing I may say that I disagree with C.S. Lewis about is, having met each and every one of you, I know I am changed forever because of it. That whether we are apart or remain together, I know I will carry each of you wherever I may go. I cannot be sure how often I will see each of you moving forward. I do not know exactly where God will lead Caitlin and I, where I will minister next, or how frequently our paths will cross in the years ahead. And there may even be some people here today whom, for one reason or another, I may never again see in this life. But even if that were true, I am still sure of this. Wherever I go, I will carry something of Lighthouse with me. I have found amongst this fellowship so many people who have augmented my love. People who have enlarged my faith, who have changed the way that I view ministry and understand ministry, who have challenged the way that I think, who have deepened my compassion for others, who have increased my joy or sharpened my faith in God and shown me facets of Christ that I would not have seen in quite the same way without them. And because of this, I know that I am not the same man who walked into this church nearly 6 years ago. And I never will be again. And I'm profoundly grateful to God for the marvelous people he drew here and graciously allowed me to walk alongside. And so I think this is where Lewis's words begin to remarkably sound something like we see in Scripture. And what it teaches us about the church, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are parts of the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it." Paul tells us that the church was never intended to be a collection of Christians who happened to worship in the same room. We are a body. And a body is changed by every member that God joins to it. Every person brings something. Every person has gifts and experiences and strengths and perspectives. Each of us carries testimonies and scars and lessons learned and evidences of God's grace that strengthen somebody else. God has not given any one of us enough to become everything the body needs on our own. I need things that God has placed in you. You need things that God has placed in someone else. Lighthouse will continue to need all that you bring when you come to church here, and the profound beauty is that when we will all grow together to carry that part of you with us, because God has graciously chosen to reveal something of himself to us through one another. God has chosen to reveal something of himself through one another. That means when I say that many of you have augmented my love, I don't simply mean that I have grown fond of you. I mean that God has genuinely used you in my sanctification. There are things I know about faith because I watched some of you live through suffering. There are things I now understand about generosity because I've watched some of you give. There are things I know about prayer because some of you prayed when there seemed to be no other option. There are things I know about perseverance because I watched some of you refuse to walk away from God when life gave you every reason to become bitter. You see, because of you all, there are things I now know about grace because you extended it to me while I was still learning. God has used this body to form me. And wherever he sends me next, I believe part of my responsibility will be to carry those things faithfully. To take what God has taught me through you and allow it to become a blessing to the people of God that you may never meet. I think that's so remarkable. That I will take with me Pastor Dave and Ben and Don, and if I haven't named you by name, no, you have impacted me, and you're going to meet other people through me that you in your life will never meet, because I'm going to carry the love you taught me. I'm going to carry with me the confidence and the faith and the prayer life and the perseverance that you all showed me and demonstrated for me. And in that way, the love you poured into me does not end because I leave. By God's grace, it travels with me. And Lighthouse, I want you to recognize that the same thing will continue happening here long after I'm gone. There are people already in this room whom God has intended to use to draw something new out of you. And there are people who have not yet walked through these doors yet, who may someday become indispensable parts of this body. Someone may walk in as a stranger and eventually become the person who teaches you something about God that you desperately needed to learn. Someone may arrive whose testimony strengthens your faith, whose friendship carries you through grief, whose gifts strengthen this ministry, and whose questions cause you to search Scripture more deeply. Or someone whose presence simply causes this family to become more of what God intended it to be. When that person arrives, do not think there is less room for me now. I beg of you, church, ask. Learn instead to say, here comes one who will augment our love. And so this brings me to my final charge to you, Lighthouse. Keep planting, keep watering, and trust God with the growth. As I look back over these past 6 years, I cannot help but think about all the seeds that I have planted here. Some were planted through sermons I preached from this pulpit. Some through Bible studies with our young adults. Conversations with our youth and the weeks we spent together at camp. Seeds that were planted through prayer meetings and hospital visits and moments of pastoral care and even in conversations in the hallway after church. Sometimes seeds are planted in the simple words of encouragement offered when somebody needed them most. I have watched people come to faith. I have watched our young people mature so much in their faith and put down roots in God that I believe will not be shaken. I've watched people discover gifts they did not know God had placed within them. I have watched prayers be answered and lives be changed. But I also know there are seeds God graciously allowed me to plant here whose fruit I may never get to see. Paul understood that. In 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, he writes, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but it is God who gives the increase. I think there's incredible freedom in those words, especially for someone standing where I am standing today. Paul could plant faithfully without needing to remain long enough to see every harvest because the growth was never ultimately dependent on Paul, nor was it about him seeing the harvest. Apollos could come afterward and water something he had not planted, and that did not diminish Paul's ministry or elevate his own, because neither man was the source of life. God gave the increase. God brings the fruit. One person plants, another waters. Someone else may reap, but from beginning to end, it is God who takes those small acts of faithfulness and somehow turns them into something that is alive. And I've been thinking about what that means for me as I leave this church. Maybe something I preached years ago will suddenly become important to someone 10 years from now. Maybe someone will watch one of my sermons online long after I'm finished here and they will come to faith. I think one of the coolest things I've been thinking about, we had our last youth group on Friday. Maybe one of the young people I had the privilege of discipling will one day stand behind a pulpit themselves or become the person who disciples the next generation after them. Maybe somebody who was encouraged here becomes the encourager hurting or for another hurting person desperately needing encouragement years from now. Maybe there was something I said in a conversation in that church hallway that I do not even remember that God intends to bring back to someone's heart at exactly the moment they need it. I may never know. I may never hear the testimony. I may never see the harvest, and I'm learning to be okay with that because I was called. I was never called to make anything grow. I was called to be faithful with whatever God planted in my hands, and the growth has always belonged to Him. And now other hands will water some of the things that I planted. Other people will plant new seeds in places where I had the privilege of watering. Others will stand behind this pulpit. Others will teach our children and our young people. Others will sit across the table from someone who is hurting. Others will pray prayers that I will never hear the answer to, and they will lead people whose names I may never know. And I believe with all my heart God will continue to fan into flames things He graciously allowed me to help ignite here. But I want you to remember something, and I need to remember it too. I may have fanned the flame, but God is the one who lights it. He is the one who causes that fire to burn. You see, the vineyard was never mine to dress, even if I was the one who helped plant it. The sheep were never mine, even when I shepherded them. They have always belonged to God, and it has simply been one of the greatest privileges of my life for this season that He entrusted some small part of their care to me. And that is why, even though there is sadness of leaving, I can also leave with hope. I don't have to see every seed become a tree before I grow or before I go. I do not have to know how every story turns out. I do not have to finish everything I started. I can trust that there will be faithful hands here to continue planting and watering. And above all, I can trust the faithful God who gives the growth. So, Lighthouse, keep planting seeds of faith. Keep pouring into the next generation. Keep speaking words of life. Keep investing in people whose stories may take years to unfold. Keep watering things that someone else planted before you got here, and find comfort knowing that while we plant and we water, God gives the increase. God will inspire the growth, and I am believing that there is going to be an incredible harvest here at Lighthouse, that He is going to do such mighty works, such powerful things, because I believe that this church ultimately belongs to Him. And so it is with great peace and comfort that I can now do what Paul did when the time came for him to leave a church he dearly loved. I can commend you to God. And so, Lighthouse, after all these things, I find myself returning to the words of Paul that we began with this morning. When Paul knew that his time amongst the Ephesian church was coming to an end, after everything he had taught him, after every seed he had planted, after every relationship he had formed, every burden he helped carry alongside them, there eventually came a moment where he had to release them. And in Acts 20:32, he says, "Now, brothers, I entrust you to God and to the words of His grace, which is able to build up and to give you the inheritance amongst all who are sanctified." Paul could leave because he knew whose hands he was leaving them in. And he's not talking about Apollos. He's not talking about any other leader. He entrusts them to God. And I think those words, I understand those words differently today than I ever have before. For nearly 6 years, God has given me the incredible privilege of helping shepherd this church. He allowed me to preach from this pulpit and to teach His word and to pray with you and to walk alongside you and to celebrate your victories and to grieve with you when you were hurting, to invest in your children and your young people and to care for this fellowship in whatever small ways He entrusted to me. But I was never the great shepherd of this church. Even Pastor Dave is not the great shepherd of this church. You see, we don't hold Lighthouse together as pastors. And whoever God sends next to stand in my place will not hold Lighthouse together either. Christ does. Lighthouse has been my church, but it has never been my church. It belongs to Jesus Christ, and the same shepherd who watched over this flock before I ever arrived will still be watching over it long after I am gone. And because I know that, I can leave some seeds underground. I can leave some work unfinished. I can leave ministries that I love and people whom I love even more. I can leave without seeing how every story turns out, even though I'm so very curious to see. Because I'm leaving all those things in the hands that are infinitely better than mine. Because I know this, I can entrust you to God. And so, Lighthouse, continue in what God has begun in you. Know God. Never become so familiar with the things of God that you stop pursuing God himself. Build one another up in love as you have done. Just as you have done for Caitlin and me, build one another up in love. Welcome whoever God sends next. Whether that is the stranger who walks through the front doors or the family he calls to help lead this church next, keep making room for people who will augment your love. And keep planting and keep watering and keep trusting that God will give the increase. Nearly 6 years ago, I walked through these doors hoping and praying that God might use my life somehow to leave something of himself with you. And here I stand now preparing to leave, and I realize that in the kindness of God, something happened I didn't fully understand when I came here. Well, I was hoping to leave something of God with you. God was leaving an immeasurable amount of himself with me through you. You have shaped me. You have taught me. You have encouraged me. You have prayed for me. You have trusted me. You've forgiven me when I fell short, and you've allowed me to grow beside you, and you have all augmented my love. And whether or wherever God takes Caitlin, Elisha, and me from here, we will carry the evidence of his grace through this church with us. And so, Lighthouse, I will not finish my final sermon by simply saying goodbye. I want to finish by doing what Paul did. By entrusting people he dearly loved to the God who loved them even more. I commend you to the Father whom I have begged you to know personally. I commend you to the Savior who purchased this church with his blood. I commend you to the Holy Spirit who will continue to lead and convict and comfort and empower and guide you. I commend every ministry, every family, every young person, every leader, every seed that has been planted, and every work still unfinished to the faithful hands of God. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hey, Lighthouse Church family, Pastor Joel here. I pray that today's message really spoke to you. And if it did, sound off in the comments below about what part specifically is really put on your heart. Maybe check out what other people are talking about today's sermon. I pray God's blessings all over you throughout this week. God bless.